Daf Yud Aleph. So we got to the very last line of Yud Amid Beis. The Gemara is just quoting from the Mishnah. The quotation is that Kamat Ve'Allah Biyada Tzura. Let's say you do the coin is a kmita, and in the kmita he picks up a pebble that happens to be mixed within the flour, or a gargar melech, or a little salt that would have been mixed in, or Karet Lavona, or some of the Lavona. All of that is going to be possible. So that's what the Mishnah says. So before you even get to the Gemara, if you look at the Tosos in the very bottom of Yud Amid Beis, Dibur Maso Kamat. The second line of the Tosafot at the end, it says Vim Tomar. Vim Tomar, Uli Reb Yehuda ben Beseira Neima Diachsav Yikmot. According to Behuda, very simply, all you have to do is, remember, he allows you to redo the Kemitza, put everything back in, and do another Kemitza. So how come the Mishnah doesn't Mechalik and say that ben Beseira is allowed to redo it? It must be, the Tosafot writes, Shema Stam Lan Tana Delo Kivaser. It must be that the Mishnah holds, Stam Mishnah is not like Ben Beseira. Meaning Ben Beseira in a Chanami would say you could redo it, but this Mishnah doesn't hold like Ben Beseira. Inami, alternatively, Yeshachalik ben Kemitza Psula, the Kemitza Nasis mi Psulin. He says maybe Ben Beseira even in this case will agree you can't redo it. Ben Beseira actually says that when it's done by a person who's Pusul, that's not so bad. But when the Maisa Kemitza was done in a puzzle way, it brought up some of the Tzur or Melech or something, then even Rabbi Yehuda would think it's disqualified, in which case you can't redo it. So that's Tosas Shita. The number of Achronim argue in Tosas and say the opposite. They actually say, in this case, even Chachamim would agree. I mean, Chachamim only say, when a person who's puzzle, that's when you can't redo it. But when you do a Maisa Kemitza and there's a Koret mixed in, or there's a Tzur mixed in, perhaps Chacham would say you can put it back in and redo it because nothing was done. That wasn't even considered Maisa Kemitza. So while Tosfos thinks that a Maisa Kemitza done puzzle is worse than a puzzle person doing it, Achronim argue and say a puzzle person doing it is actually worse than a Maisa Kemitza was done by derech puzzle. So either way, that's the Mishnah. So Gemara now wants to know on the very top of Yud Aleph from Aleph. Now before you even do the Gemara, look at the top of Rashi for a moment. Rashi writes, O Koret Levona Pasol. So when the Koran does a Kemitza, he picks up some of the Levona. Bim Benesha Komet Chaser Kedei Makum HaKoret. As we know, the reason why such a Kemitza is possible, since you have to have a full Kemitza, and there's some salt mixed in, or there's a rock mixed in, or there's a Levona mixed in, it's a Chaser. Vim Tom asks Rashi, Ketet Komet, how in the world do you do Kemitza? Valo Levona Ala Mincha. When the way it works is you have a flour in the Kli, then you put Levona in the Kli as well, then you do a Kemitza. How do you ever do a Kemitza without there being Levona, if Levona is already mixed in there? As the Pasuk says, Dichsiv, Kol ha-Levona asher ala mincha, and then you do the Kemitza. So, Tshuva l'davar, the answer is, it says Rashi, Kishekomet misalik ha-Levona kula letzad echad. When you do the Kemitza, you move all Levona off to the side, then komet ha-solos mi-emsa kli, then you do a Kemitza in the center, so all the Levona is in the Kli, but it's not mixed together, it's off to the side where it does not get in the way of the Kemitza. But it seems that it would be very, very likely that it's possible that a Kemitza can pull up some of the Levona anyways. So that's the basics. So Gemara now wants to know, Kol Hani Lamali, why do you have to have three examples in the Mishnah that if you do a Kemitza with a Tzror, or this Melach, or this Levona, once you tell me that one of them is Pasul, that means it's missing in the Kemitza, so certainly I'll know the other ones are Pasul as well. Why have to mention all three examples? So Gemara explains Tzricha. Di Tana Tzror, if it taught me only the case of Tzror, Mishum De La Baska Kravahi, because a Tzror, a rock, doesn't, it's not right to be on the Mizbeach ever, and that's why it's disqualified. Aval melach, the basa kravi, where salt is something that we put on every single carbon, it goes on this bach, ema tiskasha, I would think. If the salt was mixed together, that would be considered fine. Kamash lan, the salt is also going to disqualify the kmitza. Vitana melach, if you taught the case of salt, the lo ikba bahade mincha meikara. You do not place the salt in the same kli as the mincha, it's added on after the fact, so there, maybe it's considered separate and puzzle. About Levona, Dikba Bahade Mincha, Meikara. The Levona is placed in the same Mincha, so if you happen to pull some Levona up with the Kemitza, maybe we'd accept it, since it again is in the same Kli. Ema Tiskasha, it should be acceptable. Kamash Milan, that no, even Levona would disqualify the Kemitza. When you do the Kemitza, it has to be pure flour, nothing else could be in it. There is an interesting discussion in the Achronim when it comes to Melach Bas HaKravahi. When we say salt goes on the Mizbech, it goes on top of the Aver, it goes on top of the Mincha as a carbon, there is a discussion in the Brisker of whether or not that Melach is only a carbon because vis-a-vis the Mincha it's on, or vis-a-vis the Aver it's on, or even the Melach is on its own right, is considered a Bas HaKrava, even independently. So that's an interesting discussion in the Achronim based on a Rashi in Zvachim. Okay, the Gemara now says, Mifnei she'amra kometa chaser ha'yeser pasol. The Gemara quotes in the Mishnah that why is a kemitzah done with a mixed together with salt or lavona or tzoras pasol? Because that means you're missing some of the kemitzah. Kemitzah has to be a full amount in the hand of the kohen. So if kemitzah is missing or it's extra, it's pasol. That's the klal. My irya mishum chaser v'yeser. Why does the Gemara say, the Mishnah say only because it's missing or extra? Typically, mishum chatzitza. Isn't there a problem of a chatzitza? What's the chatzitza? So Rashi explains, my irya mishum kometz chaser, typically the tzur apostle mishum chatzitza. The reason why a pebble in the hand of the kohen is apostle is because it's a chatzitza. Says Rashi, explains, the chotetz ben yada lekemach. Because now my hand is not touching the kemach. There's a pebble on my palm, which is blocking the kemach from touching my palm. At least part of the kemach. The chatzitza poselas bekadshim, because of farsh bezvachim. Chatzitza is always a relevant factor when it comes to the world of zvachim. Inami, another case that could be a chatzitza. Chotetz bein kemach lekemach. Maybe even if it's not touching my hand, but it's still mixed within the kemach, there's an idea that all the kemach should be touching each other, and it's getting in the way. So, and cholek es hakometz v'nira kishnei chatzai kamtin. It seems as if there are two half kamtim here, as opposed to one full. So therefore, it's possible because of chatzitza, even without the problem of chaser and yeser. So the Gemara explains, Amar b'Yirmiyah bin Atzad, it's possible you could have a situation where there's a tzur there, but it's not going to be chatzitza if it's off to the side. What does it mean, off to the side? So Rashi explains, but I'll say this outside. He said, we'll look at it, maybe I'll explain it, then we'll look inside, that when you do a kemitza, it's inside the palm, between the three middle fingers and the palm, but on the top ends here, the tzur is there on the top or the bottom of it, that's not going to be breaking between any of the kemachs or any between your hand and the kemach, it's on the outside of it. In that situation, it's not going to serve as chatzitza, but it will still take up some of the space where kemach should have been there otherwise. So Rashi explains, min hatzad, when the tzur is off to the tzad, there is no concern of chatzitza. Why? Lemala etzel golda, it's on the top towards where the thumb is, or lemata etzel kemitza, or on the bottom towards the kemitza, which is the ring finger. The leke chatzitza, tainu min hatzad, that's what it means, min hatzad. The la'acha shekamatz, when after you do the kemitza with the three middle fingers, hofecha gave yado lemata, you turn your hand to the bottom, kadei shelo yipo min hakometz, so nothing falls, klum, have a golda of kemitza min hatzad, and the thumb and the kemitza is on the outside. V'hasha leka chatzitza she'etal kemach mota tzura. There's no chatzitza because the tzura, the pebble, is on the outside of al chisaron ika, but it still is taking away some of the space where the kemach should be instead. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Abayi le Rava, ketad komtin. How exactly? What's the ma'isa kemitza? What do you do? What's kemitza? So Amar le kedekam tzeinche, like people do. Remember that the Gemara Megillah talks about when Haman came, Mordechai was busy learning with the Chever, they happened to be learning Kemitza. He was teaching them how to do Kemitza. So how do you do Kemitza? Rashi explains, Kedekam Tzeinche, Mashma B'chol Hetzbos. Pashup Shad is like everyone does, people just grab things. You grab a whole thing of flour, you use all five fingers. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. That's what people normally do. So the Gemara says, Eisive, Zu Zeres, Zu Kemitza, Zu Ama, Zu Etzba, Zu Godel. So the Brisa quotes, that each finger has a different name because they all have a different function. So Zuzeres is the pinky. Why is that called the pinky? Because that's necessary. Rashi points out when it comes to the measurements of the choshen that the Kohen Gadol would wear, the Zeres Arka was the length of it. So that's the need for a Zeres. What's the concern of the Kemitza? So Rashi explains Kemitza because that's where you start the scooping up of the flour. Use your ring finger, that's Kemitza. Why is it called an Amma? An Amma, whenever the Torah says Amma, the Amma is measured from the elbow to the middle finger. That's called an Amma. And then the next finger is the etzba. Rashi points to etzba is the Kohen uses the etzba, the pointer, in order to dip the dam. And the godel is in terms of the thumb when putting the thumb on the mitzvah in terms of the tara process. So they each have a certain function. So now the question becomes, if it's really kedekam tzeinche that all fingers are being used, so how come the kemitza is being called the ring finger is called the middle the kemitza, the pinky should have been called the kemitza, since you're using the pinky to do all the kemitza. So Gemara says, Ela lahashvos. Really what's going on is you really only use the middle three fingers. Look at Rashi to explain lahashvos. Deim yotze kemach lamata min hakometz, mocho umashveu be'etzba ketana shlo yehei mivurats. So if this thing, some of it's hanging out, some of the flowers hanging out, you use that the pinky in order to scrape off the leftover kemitza. Okay, but really you don't use all the fingers, you only use the middle fingers. So the Gemara now says, Hechi Abed, so now that we know which fingers you use, how exactly do you do the Maisa Kmitza though? So Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia, Amar Rav, Chofe Shalosh Etzbos Ad Shemigia Al Pas Yado V'Komitz. You spread your three middle fingers out until it touches the end of your palm, and now everything in between there, that's considered the Kmitza. So then the Gemara says, Tani Nami Hochi, the Brisa says the same thing, Melo Kumso, what do you mean Melo Kumso? The part of the tribes has to be a full Kmitza. Yochem Mivoretz, one might think that should be, if it's protruding from the sides or between the fingers, that's all fine. Tamalomer Bikumso has to be inside. Well, Ibukumso, if it only means inside, Yochel Beroshi Etzbosa, maybe it's sufficient to use simply the ends of your fingers, not the whole palm. Tamalomer Melo Kumso, you have to use the whole hand. Okay, so how do you do this? So Chofe Shalosh Etzbos, you scoop up with your three middle fingers, Al Pasiado, until the palm, the komets, and you do a kmita, B'machvas U'marcheshes, from the pan that they would bake the flour in. I mean, normally we think that when we're growing up, you think kmita is using flour. It's not really flour. It's a dough that's been fried or baked. So it becomes hard pieces, actually. So you use three middle fingers. You scoop everything you can in the palm of your hand out of these pans that were just frying some dough, which is hard or soft. Umochik begolo milmalo betzbo kitana milmata. And you end up scraping the top with your thumb and the pink in the bottom. This way, nothing's protruding from the inside fingers. Nothing should be bevorats. And the Gemara explains, "Vizuhi avoda kasha shemimikdash." This was the hardest base avoda in the base of Mikdash. Could you imagine trying to crack dough, either hard dough or soft dough, with your middle, with your thumb and your pinky? It's a very, very hard thing to do. So zuhi avoda kasha shemimikdash. This is the hardest avoda in the base of Mikdash. Gemara says, "Zu v'sulo." This was the only hard avoda. V'ha'ika milika. The milika was also very hard, but the Kohen had to use his long nail and his thumb and snap the back of the oaf. That's milika. That milika. That's very hard. Va'ika chafina. Chafina is a very hard thing as well, where the Kohen Gadol will have to go inside using his hands to hold the ketores and try to balance the hot coals. It was a very, very hard thing to do. So we have really the three avodos that were very, very hard in the base of Mikdash. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elazuhi achas me'avodos kashos sheber Mikdash. This is one of the three hardest avodos that took place in the base of Mikdash. Now there's an interesting Gemara in Yuma that talks about this mevorot part, the point of the flour sticking out. So there's a concern of the flour sticking out above and below. You just wipe it with the top and the bottom, the thumb and the pinky. What about that which the flour sticks in between the thumbs? So the Gemara says you have to have a Kohen who is actually fat, who had fat fingers, where there is no in-betweens, where he closed together. If you're a skinny guy, so there are always some air spaces in between the fingers. You could get some flour stuck, and unsure if the flour stuck between is considered inside or is considered outside. If a guy who's got very fat fingers, this way there's nothing to get stuck in between. That's the type of Kohen that we want. Fine. The Gemara now says three wide lines down. Four wide lines down. Amra Papa, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Melo Kumso Kedekamsi Inshe, I understand how Kmitza is done. A Melo Kumso, a full Kmitza, is the way people normally do Kmitza. So Bai Rav Papa now asks the question though, Comments Barasha is Bosa Ma. Let's say you use only the tips of your fingers, but you don't look at Rashi to explain the scenario here. Rashi says four wide lines down, Barasha it's Bosav, Kishihnis Rashi it's Bosa Bekemach. You bring your tips of your fingers inside the flower. Upasyado klape kemach, and it's down where your hand is connected facing the kemach. The comets melokum so ad pasyado kitikno mal. So you kind of start this way. You go downwards, it seems. All these are very hard. The Gemara in Yuma also talks about these scenarios, and there's a big machlokas how to explain each of these scenarios. But the way I understand from Rashi's, I think your hand is facing downwards, and you scoop up that way. Normally it's done this way. You normally like scoop in like that, like from the side of the fingers, and you pull up. Here you're facing downwards and scooping upwards. That's one chayla. Does that work? Let's say it's on the side. What's the case of studen? Rashi explains, Shenosan gav yado al kemach. You place the back of your hand on the flower, like this. V'holach yado achid, and you move your hand to the side. Achid nichnas kemach derech tzido l'toch yado. As you move it across, a flower comes in the side of your hand. That's minat studen. Matalamalamai. What about matalamala? Which Rashi explains is, Shehichnis etzbosa bekemach. I think you just kind of lower your hands like that. You don't move to the side, but your fingers are open, I guess. And you just lower your hand, or maybe even close, and eventually the flower goes on top of the hand. Would that work as well? And the Gemara says, my teku, all these cases, we don't know that to take, we don't know if they work. So Amir Rapapa then also says, Pshita li melo chafnav kidechafne inche. I understand melo chafnav. This is referring to the Kohen Gadol. When the Kohen Gadol would go in the Kodesh Kodashim on Yom Kippurim, he'd do a chafina from the Ketores. The Ketores that was dakum nadaka, that was extra fine for Yom Kippur, he'd do a chafina, which meant using two hands, you do two hands like that, you scoop it up, you put it into the pan, you bring the pan and the hot coals together, and then somehow magically, not magically, but acrobatically, he somehow is able to balance things in the Kodesh Kodashim and puts the pan back in the hands of his two hands, like the flour, rather the Ketores back in his hand. So chafina was one of the hardest avodas. But when he'd do the initial chafina, he'd scoop it up like this, from the sides coming in, and have two hands full of the Ketores. So that's pasha, that works. But the question Rapapa had with regards to chafina is, by Rapapa, Chafan b'Rosh Etzbosav Mahu. Let's say using Rosh Etzbosav, which is again coming, I think, downwards with your tips of your fingers first, as opposed to the sides of your fingers, or Metzdadim, or from the sides of your hands, as opposed to the sides of your fingers, or Chafan b'Zev, Chafan b'Zu. Let's say you do each one separately, each hand separately, and then carve them Zeh to Zeh. Then you put them next to each other. Mahu. Do each of those cases work? And again, the Gemara concludes, Teku, we don't know. Barya Papa asks further, Davka lekometz bidafna dimana mai. The way it works, we know that there are two kelim when it comes to kmitza. One is there's the initial klisharis that held the flour. You do a kmitza from klisharis A, and you dump into klisharis B. That klisharis B is like the Kabbalah. So the question becomes, when you take the kmitza into klisharis B, but you normally just drop it inside. That's how you're supposed to do it. But Papa's asking, let's say you're Dovke Lekometz, you press it against the wall. You don't drop it. It's pressed against the wall in the second Klisharis. Is that going to be a sufficient Kabbalah of the Kemitza? So what's the Shaila? My toch Kli Ba'inan Vahika. Do you need inside a Kli, and now it's inside the Kli? Even though it's attached to the wall of the inside Kli, it's inside. Odilma Hanacha Besocha Ba'inan Velech. You need to have it resting on the bottom of the floor of the Kli, which it's not. It's attached to the wall. It's suspended in the air. It's not Hanacha. There's toch, but there isn't Hanacha. Is that going to be a sufficient Kabbalah of the Kemitza? And the Gemara yet again answers, Teku. Boy Mar Barav Ashi. Let's say you turn the kli over. We're talking about a situation where you have a kli, not our types of pots and pans where the bottom is flat, but there's on the bottom has like some type of kli kibble itself. There's a little on the other, even on the opposite side, there's something that could hold some flour. So you flip it over and you pour it in the back side of the klisharis, whereby there's a certain lip holding, was able to hold something. Is that considered tocho? Is that good enough for the placement of the kmitza? So he explains the shaila. My hanacha besocha beinan vahayika. There's a hanacha, and there's also besocho. It's inside. It might be on the outside of it, but still inside a kli kibul, and it's also a hanacha. It's resting. So maybe this would be sufficient for Kabbalah of kmitza. Odilma b'ketiknu beinan v'lech, or you need to use it the kli, the proper way it's used, and therefore maybe it wouldn't work, because we know kli shari, so all the halachas, the way you serve Hashem should be in a normal, respectful way. This does not seem to be the normal way to use the opposite side of a kli shari, in which case maybe it shouldn't work. And finally the Gemara concludes that this is a teku as well. Okay. The new Mishnah tells us, Ketzad hu osa, how exactly do you do the kmitza again? Osa poshet hetzbosav al pas yado, you spread your fingers out and you draw it over your palm, and that's how it's done. Riba shmana, chasa shmana, chis levona sa psula. The Mishnah says that the three scenarios, if you have too much shemen, the way it works is you're supposed to have a lug of shemen. If there's too much, if there's more than a lug, or if there's less than a lug of shemen, it's possible for the mincha. And chos levonasa, there's supposed to be a levona of a malach kometz as well. There should be a full kmitza of levona as well. If you're missing any of that amount of kmitza, it's possible, but implies that if you actually have more levona, it's going to be permitted. We'll see that in the end of Amud Beis. But right now we have too much or too little shemen is possible, and too little levona is possible. So heichidami riba shmana. What exactly does it mean, an extra oil? How do you have extra oil? So Amar Rabbi Eliezer kigon shehifrish la shnei lugin. The situation where the individual had set aside, he separated for his mincha, I'm going to set aside two lug of shemen. And then it seems like, look at Rashi, shtei lugin, it's around five lines up from the bottom. He set aside shtei lugin for his one mincha. V'irvu ima diniras kishei alechem. It looks like shei alechem, which requires shnei lug. Avabalug umechza kataka daitach delo mifsli. It sounds like one and a half lug is fine, but having two full lugin, that's a problem, because that looks like you're doing shtei alechem, which requires two lugin. Shtei alechem is what was brought with the carbon and shavuos with the keves. They brought a shtei alechem along with shtei lug shemen. But here, you it's not shaykh to bring shnei lugin for your regular mincha, and therefore it's possible. But again, Rashi says if it's 1.5, it seems that sif it would be permitted. So Gemara says, how come we're giving a case where the guy was mafrish shnei lugin for his one mincha? Why not take the case of either the guy took some regular oil from his house, regular chulin oil, mixed it together, that would be extra, or he took some other guy's shemen for his mincha and poured it in? Why are we saying it's only a case of where I set aside two luk shemen for my particular mincha? There are other cases where you could have extra shemen. If you're going to tell me if you take oil that's chulin or oil of some other guy's mincha, it won't disqualify my mincha. Can't be true, because maskev lo rav zutshe bar tuvia el miata minchas chote de pasul. But we know minchas chote is also pasul if there's extra, if there's foreign oil. Now the problem with minchas chote, there's no oil on the regular minchas chote. So minchas chote the pasul b'shem and heichem mishkachesla. How could you ever find minchas chote is disqualified from extra shemen? Ididei, if it's extra shemen from its own oil, halesle. There is no shemen on a minchas chote. So there's no shemen on minchas chote. There's no such thing as an extra shemen, a double shemen on minchas chote. And if you're going to tell me ha'idachul v'dechaverta ha'amisla pasul. You're going to tell me, no, you know the case of a minchas chote being possible of extra oil? So you take chulin oil, or you take your friend's oil for his mincha and pour it in, but we just said above, maybe there's not going to be. The psul of oil, extra oil, is only when it comes from the carbon itself, not from some external shemen. So how do you ever have a case where minchas chote is possible with riboy shemen? So Gemara says, you're right. Rabbi Eliezer, lo mibari kamar. This is a lo mibari type of statement. Needless to say, if there's oil from the regular chulin from my house, or oil from some other guy's mincha, that certainly will disqualify as extra oil for my carbon. Aval hifrish la shnei lugin. If I set aside two lugin for my one mincha, I would have thought maybe that would be acceptable. Hol v'hai chazulei v'hai chazulei. Since each lug independently would be sufficient for my carbon mincha, so maybe when I put them all together, it should be fine as well. Amolo lifse, maybe it shouldn't be disqualified since each one is individually is acceptable. Kamashmalan, even in a case of Shnei Lugin of Shemin for my mincha, that too would be considered possible. Uminale le Rebbe Eliezer, how does Rebbe Eliezer know that the Mishnah was a case of two lug of Shemin separated from my particular mincha? Amarava, Masnisin Kashisya. The Mishnah was challenging, and based on this Kasha, he was able to answer it in this case. Mayiria Datani Riba Shmana. Why does the Mishnah say, if Riba Shmana, that you increased its oil? Listening, the Mishnah could have taught just as well and maybe clearer, Riba La Shemen, separating it, if you increase its oil. What does it mean, Riba Shmana, its oil? Tells you, talking about the oil of the Mincha itself. Elaha Kamash Malan, the Alpha Gab, the Hifrish La Shnei Lugin. Even though you separated two oils, two lug of oil for this particular Mincha, Shmana, its own Shemen, even that's going to be considered possible. Okay, the Gemara now tells us the last three lines of the Amud here. Chisa Levonasa, the Mishnah had taught us that if you're missing any of the Levona, you're supposed to do a Kemitza on the Levona as well, and that's the amount of the shear of Levona. But let's say it's less than a full Kemitza. The Mishnah said it's possible. Tanu Rabbanan, Chasa V'amda Al Korit Echad Psula. Let's say it's missing, and there's only a Korit left, only one kernel, if you will, of a Levona, it's possible. Al Shnei Karatin, if there are two, I don't know if kernels are the right word. Is it English word used for Karta?
Particle.
Okay, fine. I'll use kernel particle. Fine. There's one particle left. It's possible, but if there are two particles left, it's ksher. It's actually acceptable. That's how much levon is allowed to be lost. That's divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer al korit echad ksher. Even if there's one particle left, that's acceptable for Rabbi Shimon. While Tanakama felt it was two particles you need, but palchus mikan psul. If you have less than a particle, I don't know what that means, but half a particle, that's going to be possible according to Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara now says, going on to the top of Amud Beis now, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, V'hatanya, doesn't the Braisa say, Komet ulevona shechasa kol shu pasul. So all right, Braisa, and our mission as well implies if you're missing even a small amount of levon, it's pasul. But Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say you could go on to even one or two particles, that's sufficient. So there's a big machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda versus the Braisa, which says even a small amount of missing particle will be disqualified. So the Gemara says, Tani korit levona shechasa kol shu pasul. Now, what the Braisa means is, if the korit levona that misses even a small amount, I mean, if you have one particle left and that particle is missing part of itself, it's a half a particle, then it's going to be pasul. That's what it means. Ibai Seima, alternatively, maybe they're talking about different scenarios. Ibai Seima, Kan Bilavona Haba Imamincha, Kan Bilavona Haba Bifne Atma. Depends whether Lavona is coming on its own right or Lavona is simply coming to accompany the Mincha. If Lavona is coming to accompany the Mincha and the Mincha is really the Iker, so then we say, as long as there are one or two particles left of Lavona, it's acceptable. But if you say that Lavona is coming as a Nadava on its own right, independently, so then we say the Braisa that you need the entire Lavona to be there. If you're missing even one particle of the Lavona, that's when we're going to say that it's disqualified. Okay, five lines down now, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosh Machlokes B'davar. He thinks there's actually a three-way Machlokes here. What's a three-way Machlokes? Rabbi Meir Savar, Komets B'tchila V'Komets B'sof. You have to do a full Kometz in the beginning, you have to do a full Kometz at the end, meaning you cannot be missing any amount of the Lavona. That's the Brice that we brought above. Rabbi Yehuda, which we saw in Amun Aleph, said, Savar Komets B'tchila V'Shnei Kartim B'sof. You need a full Kometz in the beginning with Lavona, but it's sufficient to have two particles left over at the end. And Rabbi Shimon is a third sheet that says, Savar Komets B'tchila. You have to start with the full Kometz in the beginning of Lavona, but as long as it's Kart Echad B'sof, as long as there's one particle of Lavona left at the end, that's sufficient as well. So again, everyone agrees you need a Kometz at the start. The question becomes, what do you have to end with? Rabbi Meir says you need the same shear at the end, the Malakumso at the end as well. Rabbi Yehuda felt you need two particles at least, and Rabbi Shimon says it's sufficient even to have one particle at the end. And Shloshan Mikre Echad Darshu, all three Tanaim learn from the very same pasuk. What's a pasuk? It says Ves Kol HaLevona Asher Al Mincha. All the Levona that's on the Mincha. So what does it mean? Rabbi Meir Savar Adisa LeLevona Dikbay B'Hadi Mincha Meikara. Until you have all the Levona that was with the Mincha in the beginning, has to be at the end as well. That's Rabbi Meir's understanding. It would sound like Pashup Shad of the pasuk. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Kol VaFilu Chad Karet S Lerabos Karet Echad. Rabbi Yehuda, if you look in the Gemara Menachos, rather Gemara in Bechor, the first Gemara there, and a few other places, Rabbi Yehuda says whenever the word kol is used in the Torah, it doesn't mean kol everything. Kol means kol dehu, even the smallest amount. So he says kol levona means a kol dehu of levona is sufficient. Even one particle is sufficient. The word S comes to darshan, an extra word to include two particles. And Rabbi Shimon S, lo darsh, Rabbi Shimon did not hold of making drushes from S, so he only has the word kol, meaning a kol to, even one particle sufficient, and there's no way to darshan a second particle, and that's the basis of all three shitas of this pasuk. Then the Gemara says halfway down the page here, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Machlokes B'Levona, Haba im ha-mincha. The whole debate is only when the Levona comes to accompany the Mincha. Ava b'Levona, haba b'fnei atma, if a Levona, a person took a neder or nedava to bring a Levona to come on independently without accompanying any Mincha, just the Levona itself, divrei hakol komets b'tchila v'komets b'sof. You have to have the same kmitz at the end as you did in the beginning. The only debate is whether it's sufficient to have one or two particles or maybe the full amount is only if it's coming to accompany the mincha. But again, if the levona comes b'fnei atzmo, everyone agrees you need the same kmitz b'sof. And l'halchi itzrech asher al mincha debadi mincha in b'fnei atzmo lo. That's why this whole pasuk is telling me when the whole debate exists, it's only debated when it's al mincha, when it's coming to accompany the mincha, implying when it's not coming with the mincha, when the levona comes independently, it's not subject to this machlokas, and yet you need the entire levona to be present, even basof. Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef again, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, machlokas b'levona haba mincha, aval ha-b'levona haban b'bazichin divrei hakol. So when it comes to the bazichin, remember the bazichin were, when it came to the lechem apanim, the levona were on these bazichin, these kelim on the side of the shulchan. So the whole debate is only when the levona comes to accompany the mincha, but when the levona is there with the bazichin of the lechem apanim, divrei hakol shnei kmatzin b'tchila v'shnei kmatzin b'sof. You need the two amounts of kmitzas of levona in the beginning and at the end as well. It's obvious, of course. So ma'od usema, kevin de bahadi lechem asya kashel mincha damya kamash malanat. So of course, the levona comes independently. We just said above that whenever the levona comes as an independent carbon, as an independent offering, you have to have the full amount of levona even at the end. So now he says the same thing applies when they come with bazichin. When you take the bazichin, the kelim of levona, that are connected to lechem upon him. So Gemara says, of course, it's obvious. Isn't that a situation of levona coming with the atzmo? He says, no. There's a havmina to think that since the levona are side by side of the lechem upon him, you might think that's considered a same halacha as coming with a carbon, with a mincha, like it comes with a mincha, coming accompanying the lechem upon him would have the same din, and the machlokas would exist even with the bazichin. Kamash Mulan, that even though the levona bebazichin are next to the lechem upon him, they're not considered conceptually as next to them, and they're actually considered independent hakravos, and require the full shear even basof. Okay, the Gemara now says, Pligi ba Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka. There's a machlokas and Maram as follows. Chad Amar, one of them held machlokas bilavona habami mincha. The whole debate above, the three-way machlokas only existed when the lavona comes to accompany the mincha. Aval bilavona habab ifni atzmo divrakol komitz betchila komitz besof. Like we said above, that the debate exists only when it accompanies the mincha, but when the lavona comes on its own, there is no debate. Everyone requires the same shear of kmitza, even basof. And Chadamar, the other one held actually, ki machlokas bezo, kach machlokas bezo. Now the machlokas, the three-way machlokas exists even in a situation where Lavona comes b'fnei atzmo. Even then, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda hold in the, respectively, that's enough to have one particle or two particles even at the end. Okay, finally, the Gemara quotes the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us in Amun Aleph that if you are chaser, Lavona asa psula. That if you do a kmitza of Lavona, but it's less than a kmitza, even one particle less, the initial kmitza, that's puzzle. So, ha yasir kshera. That implies if you have an extra kmitza, if you have a Lavona, extra Lavona, more than a kmitza, so that would be acceptable. V'hatanya yasir psula, but doesn't Bryce clearly say if there's extra Lavona, more than a kmitza of Lavona there, it's actually going to be puzzle, which goes against the implication of our Mishnah that says yasir implies that yasir is muster. So Amar Rami Bar Chama kagon shehifrish la shnei kamatzim. We're talking about a situation where he set aside two kamatzim. What does that mean exactly? Rashi explains here, it's much higher up than we are, not much, but halfway down or up the narrow lines. Shehifrish la shnei kamatzim psula the yosemi dai riba. You did too much. Meaning, when you do a double kamitza, that's when it's possible. If you do a kamitza and a half, then that's actually considered acceptable. So our mission is talking about a kmitza and a half, that's where we accept it. The braisa that says too much psula is possible is when you do two full kmitzas of lavona, that's where we say it's possible. V'amar, back to the Gemara now. V'amar Rami Bar Chama, actually before I do that, there is a tosus to look at here. Oh, this is a long tosus though.
What do you do when you do again? What's Rami Bar Chama saying?
Excuse me?
Rami Bar Chama, he separated.
He did two kmitas worth of Lavona.
Instead of doing regular one?
Instead of doing one. But even one and a half would be allowed. Tosafot points out here what I said, that one and a half kmitas is permitted. So based on this, it happens to be a very interesting discussion having nothing to do with a mincha. But it's always fascinating to see how tshuvas work, where they bring random subjects to prove certain points. So in the back here, they have a whole discussion here from the Node Behuda in Yoradeh Simon Ayin Dalad. They prove that if there's one extra letter in a Sefer Torah, and which doesn't change the word or the kavana of it, it's just extra there. But let's say there's like a random floating letter somewhere, which doesn't change the meaning of anything. He says that it's not considered a pasul at all. It doesn't disqualify the Sefer Torah. And he brings a raya from a ravid. A ravid in then some of the ravids found. The Magen Avraham quotes a ravid that one can permit. Let's say tefillin, you have a word is repeated twice. Let's say the sofer is writing the word. Mezuzos, and he writes twice in a row, which I'm sure happens. So the Magen Avraham paskins that's actually acceptable because it does not change the meaning of anything. And he says, if since it doesn't change the meaning of anything, if it works for tefillin, so he says, then tefillin is more chummer than Sefer Torah. So if you have a double word in a Sefer Torah accidentally, it's acceptable as well. Why is tefillin more chummer than Sefer Torah? Because tefillin has to be written kaseder. If you write tefillin out of order, it doesn't work. Sefer Torah is actually permitted to be written out of order, and therefore we see there's a chumra of tefillin mash enkin by Sefer Torah. So again, the Node Behuda paskins that if you have a double word, it's actually, even though it doesn't, if it doesn't change the meaning of anything, it's acceptable. So the quote here is the tshuvas of Kochav Yaakov, that disproves this Node Behuda based on our sugya. Because our sugya tells us that if any lavona is missing, so the mincha is pasul, but if you have extra lavona, it's not pasul. Ah, but doesn't the Braisa say if you have extra Lavona, it is possible? And the Gemara says that's when you have Shnei Kmasim, two full Kmitzas. But if you have a Kmitza and a half, so then it's actually going to be acceptable. So he ends up proving from here that if you have a double Kmitza, it's possible. So too, if you have double words in the Sefer Torah, it's going to be possible as well. Seems to be two different, two completely I'm not sure the raya is a very strange raya to bring from kamitza to tefillin. Either way, he tries to bring a proof from the kamitza that double kamitza is possible. So to a double word in the Torah would be possible as well. Okay, the Gemara now says back inside. Amar Rami Bar Chama Hifish Lashne Kamatzin. Let's say you set aside two kamatzin. V'avid Echad Mehem. You lose one of the kamitzim. Kodim kamitza before kamitza was done. Lohukvo. It wasn't kaver, and it's actually kasher. Even though you set aside two kamitzim, if you lost one of them and then you put the remaining kamitza into the kli, you have one kamitza. There's nothing to speak of. There's no problem. But let's say you took shnei kamatzim and you place it where the line goes. Second, acha kamitza. So then you did it after the kamitza, and then you lost one hukvo. The kamitza already had established the shnei kamitzim as part of it, and since you have too much kamitza, it's actually going to be pasul. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama Hifrish Arba Kamatzin L'Shnei Bezichin. You set aside four Kamitzin for the Shnei Bezichin of Lavona for Lechem Apanim. Really, you need only Shnei Kamitzin, one Kamitza per Bezichin. But you set aside four Kamitzin. So, four Kamatzin. So the Gemara says, V'avdu Shaim, you lose two of them, so now you have two remaining, which is what you're supposed to have anyways. So Kodim Silik, if you lost two of them before you've done the Silik, before removing the Bezichin, which is equal to the Kamitza of a Mincha, so you lost two, so all you have is two. There's nothing to speak of. Lo, Hukvo, nothing was established, and that's fine. But let's say you have four. La'achar Silik Bezichin, then you remove the Bezichin, which is the Kamitza, and you still have four. Hukvo, then you have your Koveya on four Kamitzin and four Kamatzin, and four Kamatzin is considered too much, and then it would be possible you have to redo everything again. So Gemara asks Hasu Lomeli, why do you have to have two cases? Hainuhach, isn't the case of Bezichin and the case of Kamitzas Mincha the same exact case? And the different cases, but the principle is the same. Once you have the principle by one, you could certainly extrapolate it to another case. So why do you have to mention both cases of a regular Kamitzas Mincha and then the case of Siluk Bezichin? It's the same exact thing. So the Gemara explains, Mal the same, but what would you have thought? Kaven de Barir Kometz Dida, since he separated the Kometz on his own, Kaven Shagiyaz Manila Porka, Command the park yadami. So since he had separated, there's no Rashi here. Let's see how that worked. Let's chat here again. Since the komet levona of the lechem upon him, it stands on its own. It's not all mixed together. And since the time came for the removal of the bezichin, we could view it already as if it's been separated, and it should be memela koveya all for kamatzim as it is, even before you've done the actual siluk. Kamashmala, no. Even though it's a roi for the pirko, it's a roi to remove the bezichin, until you actually have done it, it's not kaveya. But once you've done the siluk bezichin, that's the mice of kaveya, and then it becomes possible because you have a four kamatzim as opposed to the two needed. All right, everyone have a wonderful day.